With that, we will continue topic on sediments. And here is a quick outline of my talk. It's probably too long, so I might rush a little bit through slides. I apologize for this. And first, I will talk briefly about active caps and then selection of amendments for active caps based on laboratory results. And then I will finalize my talk with some examples from field deployment of active caps in Still Creek on the Savannah River site, Aiken, South Carolina. Development of capping technology started with passive caps. Passive cap is just a layer of neutral material, it could be sand, that isolates contaminated sediment from the surrounding environment. Next step in this development was active cap, simply replacing neutral material by reactive material that could neutralize, stabilize contaminants in situ. And more recently, we tried to develop multiple amendment after active cap MAC technology, where we noticed that there is need to treat broad range of contaminants that are usually existing in sediments, organic contaminants, metals, so that for it's mixing those amendments, you can actually treat broad range of contaminants, and it could be one step field application that could result in reduced cost and more effective remediation. And the role of sequestering agents, for example, like metals, you cannot remove metals from soil or sediments. However, you can modify speciation of metal contaminants by shifting mobile pool, by adding sequestering agents to semi-liable or not liable. And this is the goal of this remediation method. And there are several attractive materials on the market, very commonly used for lead contaminated soil, the apatite, rock phosphate. And why is working? Because provides stable end products, can be employed by existing technology, doesn't affect sediment physical properties, and can easily be mixed with other sequestering agents. And it's rather not expensive, readily available, and not toxic. Another group of sequestering materials are zeolite. Zeolite are, again, natural occurring aluminosilicate minerals, and there is like more than 300 natural and many on the market synthetic zeolites. And why zeolite would work? Thanks to this incredible structure of zeolite, as you can see, it's very colorful here on this slide, and actually thanks to this three-dimensional framework with large vacant cages. In those cages, cations and large molecules could be trapped and shift metal or contaminants mobility. Those contaminants could be immobilized that way. Example for good application for environmental cleanups are two zeolite, clinoptalolite and philipsite. And unfortunately, philipsite for a sediment application is not so good. It's toxic to, for example, Hialella azteca, very sensitive organism. But clinoptalolite, as you can see on this slide, even addition of 100% of clinoptalolite doesn't have any effect on Hialella azteca. I shift a little bit too fast. And we have more of those materials. Here are examples of organoclays that are mostly used for organic contaminants, but due to small positive charge, they as well could remove some anions. And biopolymers. Biopolymers are natural materials and they are existing everywhere. And some of them could be very attractive because they could bind metals and organics. And In cross-link forms, they can resist biodegradation and prolong longevity of remedial work. And they as well have plugging effect and could be combined with other amendments and could be even injected like in case of sediment and are rather not expensive. Here we have so many studies under laboratory section, and here just I will touch some parts of it. First part concentrated on evaluation of immobilization of contaminants by those sequestering agents, modeling of metal transport, metal bioavailability, and evaluation of potential site effect on aquatic organism and then field deployment. So this simple selection, sorption, desorption studies could help us to determine actually which amendments are working very well for which elements. And we tested under two conditions, fresh water and salt water. And it seems that all tested amendments work pretty well, especially for fresh water. Clinoptalolite for some elements like cadmium or cobalt is less effective in salt water. And for comparison, we have said that it's not reactive material. So you have difference between reactive cap and passive cap by providing this results. And modeling, numerical models are very helpful determine metal transport. Those slides are based, this modeling is based on diffusive transport, and you can see that this model indicates that active cap composed of apatite can delay contaminant breakthrough by many, many years or in comparison with passive cap composed of sand only. And another useful use and application of numerical models is that they can, we can for each flow predict thickness of the cap that would be effective to delay contaminants breakthrough. So before we will go to the field, it's very necessary to do all homework in the lab and your office. So you have nicely designed cap for removal of contaminants. Metal bioavailability could be evaluated in many, many ways. One way, for example, is sequential extraction that was quite popular, started in 80s, and based on sequential extraction, we try to simplify five steps into some factors that would indicate which fraction is actually mobile and which one would provide indicates that contaminants are retained by the solid phase. And here, based on sequential extraction, we suggest potentially mobile fraction, which is the contaminant fraction that has the potential to enter into the mobile aqueous phase under changeable environmental conditions, such as pH, EH, temperature, and others. And then recalcitrant fraction is this fraction that is retained by the solid phase. And here is just a slight example, and when we add only a small amount of sequestering agents, for example, apatite or organoclay or mixture, this was Elizabeth sediment, and we added 10% of apatite and then mixture of apatite and organoclay, and we can see a dramatic shift of first bar is control, potentially mobile fraction, light green and dark green, and red line indicates differences for some elements in that case. Now, briefly, I will go to the field deployment. So field deployment was located at Savannah Riverside, is near Aiken, South Carolina, and we have several contaminated creeks, water, cooling water ponds, result of five active reactors that were almost for 30 years on the site, starting in the early 50s. Field deployment consisted of three type of caps, and each plot was 6 by 6 feet, and those three types of caps were one layer composed of apatite and sand, two layers, top layer was biopolymer sand and apatite sand, and three layers, biopolymer, apatite and organoclay. And then we had two replicates of those three types of caps. One set of caps was in high flow, and another one it was in low flow. And here is the most important for us for evaluation of bioavailability. So here we have cap, and then we installed a set of zipper to collect pool water. The biggest changes in chemistry of the sediment, of course, will occur beneath the cap. Even placing the cap on the top of sediment would change right away the chemistry by lowering redox potential and release of some compounds from sequestering material. pH would be changed, EC, and some other parameters. So, very important is to evaluate very well the zone of influence. I will have a special talk during CITAC conference, Portland next week. If you plan to attend, I invite you just to talking about the zone of influence, because this is the major step how you evaluate this remediation actually. So we try to compare several methods for evaluation of metal bioavailability. Metal concentration in pool water, acid volatilized sulfide, ratio, SEM, AVS, zone of influence, double acid extraction, and diffusive gradients in thin films, DGT probes. And briefly, we noticed that application of active caps lower AVS, SEM, and the ratio, especially where we have apatite cap. Zone of influence. As you can see, all caps had apatite, and the concentration, in that case zinc, were much lower than in uncapped material. Here we have the last one. The touching layer was organoclay PM 199, that it's mostly for organic contaminants, and you can see that actually is not effective like other caps. And metal concentration in pool water after 1 year. Beneath the cap, it's very low for almost very broad range of metals, and outside of the cap, you can see that metal concentration is higher. DGT is a quite useful method, and here is the sediment probe. Then when you take after 24 hours after contact with sediment, you calculate concentration DGT. And it's very good agreement of DGT results with most of elements in comparison to pool water. And the same pattern. However, perhaps lead that is evaluated by pool water, it's not actually evaluated properly, because DGT are much higher for control and under the cap for lead. Other like cadmium, chromium, it's pretty good agreement of pool water and DGT. We do more research, it's definitely more research is needed. And here are some main points of this talk, that yes, we have sequestering agents that could remove and stabilize contaminants in sediments. They pretty much shift metal speciation. They reduce potentially mobile fraction, And models, numerical models, are very useful in cap designs. And active caps in the field, they show that all those methods, pool water, SEM, AVS, DGT, are actually, it's good to use all of them. And perhaps we will try to put together a paper to see if we need all those methods, or which method would be giving us the best evaluation of remedial work that we conduct. And with that, we would like to say thank you to collaborators, especially Danny Reibel from the University of Texas, and many other people, Jesse Roberts from Sandia National Laboratory, and Dr. Joanna Petrisor from San Diego, California. And we have many alligators, so I just wanted to bring this up. And thank you very much. Do I have time? Okay.